This episode is brought to you by TravCP. TravCP is a Black-owned travel company with a vision to position Africa to be the number one tourist destination in the world. TravCP currently does this by marketing tourist destinations in Africa and connecting tourists like yourself to tour guides, experiences, and destinations in Africa. To book a tour guide or destination in any African country, visit at TravCP on Instagram and send a DM or click the link in TravCP's bio on Instagram. Now, TravCP is spelled T-R-A-V-C-P, TravCP. Well, today I am blessing you with the self-acclaimed Alarinka of Africa. Now, Alarinka, in our own words, is basically a nomad or a traveler. She sells a merch, right? So I bought her merch. And when I wore it, I'm like, Afisayo, Alarinka. Do you know what Alarinka means? So she gave me a different meaning of what Alarinka meant. In her own words, it was not something that I should, you know, be proud of in terms of the way she, you know, brought her own light to it. But Toke is the Alarinka of Africa that we're referring to today. And the meaning of Alarinka of Africa to her is basically someone that is, you know, a nomad that, you know, is always in search for adventure. And of Africa, I should suppose, means in search of adventure within the African continent. Now, she is an interesting person. I've traveled with her once to Ghana, so I've, you know, gotten the, how will I say it? I basically understand what her vibe is like. She is very passionate about the tourism industry. She's also passionate about making an impact, and that is one reason I believe it was the right time to invite her to inspire people based on her journey as well. I don't want to say too much about her journey because I want you to listen and learn from it, right? So enjoy and stay tuned. Welcome to the Big Jimas podcast. I am your host, Defisayo, an award-winning travel blogger, a tourism promoter and strategist, and the founder of TravCP. This is a safe commute created to empower Big Jimas to dream bigger through the inspiring stories and life experiences of top influencers, industry leaders, and entrepreneurs. The theme for this season is empowerment.
Hi, Toke.
Hi, Fisaya. How are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing all right. Thank you for...
No worries.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you also for making our time to join today's podcast. So I messaged you, I think, 2 months ago or so, before everything became crazy in all over the country and the continent as a whole. The recent happenings. The reason why I messaged you was so that you can share your journey with the Big Jimas audience, so you can inspire people based on your journey. And why I think your journey is interesting, why I think people can learn from your journey, is because you are someone I see as, a risk taker. And that not just taking risks, but also getting results. There's a difference between someone that actually takes risks without any results and someone that actually has results. And that is what you've been able to show a lot of your followers. And that's why people, you know, see you as a source of inspiration. So for those who do not know you, just do a little introduction. Tell us, who are you? Who is Toke? Our Instagram name is That Okay Lady. Who is That Okay Lady?
This question is always tricky because that's where I start adding some unnecessary sauce and pepper. But hey, my name is Omotoke Fatoki. I'm a travel expert and blogger in Nigeria. I promote tourism. I travel to the road less traveled to inspire Nigerians to travel Nigeria, because most Nigerians love to like spend our money on La Vida Loca outside the country, and I am trying to let them see that you can achieve that here in Nigeria also, and also to, you know, to inspire our parents, our families to see that Nigeria isn't that unsafe to travel. You know, when I was going for NYC, I could remember my friends being like, oh, you don't have to go to that place. You shouldn't go there for service and all of that stuff because of the wars or the story we believe in. And that's my purpose of traveling or exploring Nigeria, to bring that stability in the tourism sector and start to travel. I'm just looking to inspire people to be who they want to be, travel, explore, and all of that. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. So before we get into more of your travel journey, tell us, who was Toke lady before you ventured into the industry? I know you ventured into the industry in 2018 or 19? So before you came in 2018, where were you up to? What were you up to, and what was your brand about, and what made you change?
Ah, good. Okay. I was a lot of things at the time. I was quite a lot of things before traveling. I used to be a musical artist.
On your Instagram, I'm like, wow, woo.
I don't even know how this whole switch thing happened, but I used to think that I was going to be popular, or I'm going to get all these kind of interviews as being an artist, like a musical artist, not a traveler. But then, you know, life happened. I used to be a musical artist. On my platform, I use my social media page before to be a personal shopper. So I used to shop for people, like buy stuff from Lagos Island and sell to people on the internet. And also I work with couples that work 9 to 5 and doesn't have time to go do their market runs or buy stuff for themselves. So I do that. This was things I was juggling with before I started traveling. So I was just a young girl out of school trying to figure out life and what to do next. And music wasn't having me at the time. A lot was happening. So mm-hmm. I ventured into TalkStore. I started doing branding for tailors in my area. So I realized that there are a lot of fashion designers on my street, like in my local government, that were not really having the spotlight and getting audience from customers from different parts of the country. So I took mm-hmm. that upon myself. I was doing online marketing for them. I was organizing photo shoots for their brand. I go into their stores to take pictures. So I was doing all of this stuff on my platform before I started traveling.
Nice. So you're basically their brand manager. You're basically like a manager. You know how you manage talent. You're basically their talent manager.
Yes. So I do, once I have their photo shoots, I work on their Instagram account, their Facebook account, I open their store online. I basically just control everything, and then I give them. So once I have clients for each brand, I just send them the direction and they just deliver.
Was this an NGO or a business?
It was a business. It was called TalkStore at the time. So TalkStore was the name of the business. I actually have business card. Jesus have mercy. So at the time, I did flyers. I was working from one shop to another at the time, sharing flyers, giving them forms to fill. Then all they have to do is pay me like 3,000 naira. And I would come to their shop, I would take photos, I was just doing branding for them basically at the time. Young graduate is looking for a job.
Yeah.
It was quite lucrative at the time. Yeah.
And I know nobody would have ever thought of that, or I wouldn't have thought of that. That's awesome. So what then transitioned you into the tourism industry?
Honestly, I have no divine answer for that. Every time I've been asked this question. I don't have any divine answer to that, but I just found myself here, honestly. In 2018, like first quarter of 2018 was quite a traumatic year. Things wasn't really going as planned. Everything was falling apart. And I was just broken. So I just thought, okay, I need to move away from Lagos. So I moved to Ogun State. with my friend. And then I schooled in Ogun State for like secondary school year for 6 years. And I never been to Olumorok. I never do anything. So that day she just you know, stood there. So we went, and when I saw Olumo, I'm like, I've been in Ogun State for quite a long time, and I've, you know, never been here. So I documented it, posted it on my story. No, I think I didn't post it on my story. I just called my best friend, and I'm like, I think I'm going to start traveling. And it was like, it is you now, anything. So, you know, when you have those friends, I'd be like, anything, you can do it now. Mm-hmm. So I do. You'd be like, you know what, just go, you can do it. I'm like, okay. So I called one of my other friends who is a social media strategist at the time. And it was like, oh, you can do it, why not? So they started sourcing for Instagram handles of people that travel, and they started sharing me with details. But at the time, I didn't really know how to do all this blogging and all of that stuff. So I came back to Lagos. I went to LCC, Lagos Admission Center. I did Lagos tour, and from there I was able to, I just felt like, okay, you know what, I will start traveling. And that was how it all started.
And just like that, you want to all over Nigeria, yeah, 36 states.
So you see the old 36 state thing, that one was, when I started on the social media, shout out to all my community members, the one people and the one that joined after. So when I started documenting, you know how people started saying, oh, I love this. Oh, and then the questions start, you know, coming in like, how are you traveling out Nigeria? Nigeria is not safe. How are you doing by road? So there are a lot of questions that were coming in. And I felt like, okay, let me leverage on these questions. And one which was like, oh, are you traveling by road? And I felt like, oh, I should travel to the old 36 states by road. They said the road is bad, you know, there is bad road network, everything is just, you know how Nigerians want to like escalate some things. I'm like, okay, let's see how this will go. Okay, I will travel to Nigerian state by road. And then there was the question of, oh, which state are you going to next? Which state are you going to next? So when this old which state are you going to next started coming, I started to realize that, okay, maybe I'll have to go to another state. Or, okay, maybe I'll have to go to another state. So I started doing my research and looking for interesting places to go in this place, in this state, and all of that. And it's quite gets more interesting every time I make a research. Oh, what can I see here in Kano? And then, boom, there is something in a historical. Or what can I see here in Enugu? And then, boom. You know, something just keeps springing up, and I started looking for people's account that have traveled to the states. And I'm like, you know what? 36 states, we are doing it. I think before I decided I'm going to be doing 36 states, I've already been to 7 states. So in the midst of the 7 states was when I finally decided that I'll be doing the whole of 36.
And there's a difference between dreaming and actually achieving. And achieving is what you did, girl. Like, it's amazing because I know a number of people, yes, I know a number of people that, I mean, till today, because it's not that easy. You did it, and to you, it would not seem like a big deal to you anymore, but it's still a big deal to a lot of people. So some are saying, oh, I want to travel to 25 states before I turn 25. Do you understand those kind of things? Until now, you know, most of them I've not been able to achieve it, but you did yours in 1 year, and this was because of your mindset. So I guess my next question is, what pushed you? Because I'm sure it was not always that easy. One thing I can point out from what you've said so far is you have good friends around you that keep saying and keep giving you moral support and they believe in you as well, which is a really good you know, booster to have in your community. You need great people around you, and that is one thing that really helped you your journey so far, even to venture into the tourism industry and, you know, traveling around Nigeria, the 36 states. Hey, people that are listening are not Nigerian. Nigeria is not a small country. Like, a landmass is really big, and she did it. So yeah, so what pushed you? What helped you through the journey?
So like you said, there is determination. For me, there was determination to do it. I have friends. I have really amazing people around me that always say, no, you can do it, you can do it. But at the same time, they always have their fears of, are you sure this place is safe? I heard it's not safe. I heard it's not this. But there was determination for me. I'm that kind of person that By the time I'm starting a journey, I'm already at the finish line. So once I'm focusing on the finish line, I don't have any other choice than to get to the finish line. So most times it's not the beginning. I'm already foreseeing what my next move is going to be about, when next I want to get on the road. So I was determined to do it. And also when I started getting feedback from people that my journey was inspiring, I felt like it would make a lot of sense and difference if I can truly finish this goal. You know, when you wake up like one morning and then in your DM you are getting a message from someone saying, "Oh, you inspire me a lot. I would love to travel too. Can you help me with my dreams and my goals?" And I'm like, I've never foreseen myself to be that person that would be inspiring people like that. So that also pushed me forward to want to do more. Like, I have to do it for the people. I have to do it for the experiences I'm having. And the experience was so fabulous. I can't even lie. I used to say I'm lucky on my journey because the experiences were quite fabulous. You know, when you get to a place and it's so welcoming, you know, it feels like home away from home, and the strangers are, you know, open up to you, welcoming you. It makes you want to see what the other state is going to look like or what the next state is going to feel like. And those are the things that keep pushing me to, you know, do more, see more, meet people, enjoy Nigeria. Yeah.
So from what you've said now, it sounds like Nigerians are awesome people to be around and very hospitable.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Every, like most tribes, like I used to use tribe and nation, because if I use the word people, I feel like, you know, we differ, yeah? Like, we have different people with different intentions. But so far, I can boast that Nigeria has a lot of amazing people to be around, from different tribes, from different towns. Yeah.
Hold on. I know you're enjoying this episode, but we'll be right back. But first, let's get to know more about the sponsor of this episode. This podcast is brought to you by Fearwood Properties. If you're looking to buy, lease, rent, or sell landed properties for residential, corporate, agricultural, or recreational purposes, Fearwood Properties is your company to go to. Now, their other services include town planning consultancy, construction of buildings, and much more. If you're interested in any of these services, feel free to access them on their website via thefearwoodproperties.com. This is spelled THEFAIRWOOD. PROPERTIES.com, thefieldproperties.com.
So I want to know, when you said doing it for people, that sounds like a stressful thing in my mind. I'm like, I don't like to do things all the time to please people because that can be emotionally stressful. So when you say you have to do it for people, please, can you buttress more on what you actually mean?
Okay, so Doing it for people doesn't literally mean I'm doing it to please people or to. For me, it was already a journey that has begun in my mind. It's something that's shaping me as a human myself. It's something that's already changing my orientation about how I see people, how I see Nigeria, and how I see myself. That's already giving me the strength that I didn't know I have in myself. So at that point, I was already at a good place. I was already at a comfortable place. Nothing can shake me. So either I do it, the way I do it is the way that I make sure that it's satisfying to me and also inspiring people. So it's not basically for the people. It's a two-way thing. I'm enjoying my process. I'm enjoying my journey. And some people are drawing energy from it. So one thing that I also do is, you know, in life you set your goals, and also you look for things to draw your energy from. So when you're weak, when you want to give up, you find something to draw your energy from, like, oh no, I can't give up now, because, you know. So one of the things that I draw my own strength and energy from is the people that inspire me, the people that are waking up to want to see me do stuff, or people that are believing in me to want to see me achieve this particular goal that I've set, that I've told them I'm going to do. Do you understand? So they are like one of my strengths provider. So I know that during some of my trip, there were times I'm like, who sent me message? Do you understand? There are days that, honestly, there are days I don't want to get out of my bed. And I'm like, you know what? I'm weak. I don't want to do anything. And judging from my previous careers, things I've done before and now, there's a big difference. And different then now is the people that are seeing me, that are supporting me. So when I was doing music, I had friends from school that were supporting me, but I don't have the audience, the platform of people that are inspired by my journey. So maybe if I had people that are putting me on my toes to do better, maybe I wouldn't have let music. Maybe I'll still be an artist by now. But during traveling and seeing that a lot of people have this, you know, travel is like a lifestyle. A lot of people want to learn how to travel and enjoy life, but they don't see themselves doing it, maybe because of financial issues or all of that. And they know that I'm a broke has, you know, sorry for the word, for the language, but they know that I'm a broke girl from some part of Lagos that is traveling and achieving a dream. So they drawing energy from me. I'm drawing my own, you know, power from them not to give up. So it's not me basically doing it for the people. It's me doing it for myself and for the people that are loving, you know, what I'm doing. And they are supplying me the energy, the power, the strength to keep going and keep stretching my reach.
I get
myself. So
I get you. So you mentioned financial issues. This is one of the things that hinder people from taking the steps they need to take, you know, just in traveling, but in every sphere of life, whether it's starting a new business or, you know, starting a YouTube channel and all of that. So I want to ask you, did you keep an account of how much you spent traveling around Nigeria? If you did, how much was it?
Oh, no, I did not.
Oh, I wish you did. So it's possible.
Because... oh no, I did not, because money is very tricky. I don't know. By the time you start calculating how much you're spending stuff, you start asking yourself, if I save this money or I use this money to do something else, wouldn't I be better?
I know.
So I didn't bother, because
that's what people pay for.
do you understand? Like, if it's the experience. So if you start saving, if you start calculating how much you spend, you start having headaches. Like, okay, I should not. Do you understand? You will lose out of the fun of what you are getting in return. You'll be focused on the money you're spending. I'm like, I'm spending this money to get this, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I started my journey, I remember vividly my first 3 trips. I think I had 10,000 with me at the time. That was my first chunk of money that I used to travel. So the 10,000 that I had somewhere when I did the TV state I first, which is, I think it was Abeokuta, Osun, and Oyo at the time. So the 10K was my first money. And money would always be a barrier in any industry. You can't do anything without, you can't do a lot of things without money. I don't want to say everything. But you can't do a lot of things. You can't execute some projects without money. You can't start some ideas without money. So at the time, I wasn't letting money be my limiting factor. What I do is I started connecting with people to figure out how I can cut costs and also have enough money to take me around these places. At first, it was So the gambling game. I was gambling my life a lot because I have limited funds and I was on the road. So I don't know if the money would be enough for me for the adventure or not. But I made sure that I was cutting a lot of costs to make sure that I don't get stranded or somewhere, of which I had my times of getting stranded. But like I used to say to people, don't let money be the reason why you won't do anything. Exactly. You won't do what you want to do.
Yeah.
once don't let money be that factor. You have to find a way. Even if it's so, money is what we think about money is we have to have a lot before we can do stuff, or I have to have it sufficient so that when I'm spending something from this thing, I have excess left, or I have at least something left. But sometimes you have to put everything in. You have to invest everything. You have to go all out before. Imagine if I hadn't taken my steps, then imagine if I'm thinking, oh, this 10,000 I cannot take me to this city state. Why don't I wait till I have like 20,000 naira, and then maybe if the 10,000 naira now exhaust, I can have extra 10,000. Maybe when I get back home, I can see the 10,000 naira to just far or, you know, eat something. I'm not saying that travel with all your savings. I'm saying sometimes in your endeavors in life, you have to put all you have. You have to put everything that you've got. And it might mean the last cash in your account. It might mean the last.
It's easy for you to say, but to do it is not easy. And I know that you're also speaking from experience. I know you're also speaking from experience. I know taking those decisions for yourself too wasn't so easy.
Yeah.
The reason why I asked that question The reason why I asked that question earlier was because about a year ago, too, as a lady named Amarachi, she traveled around 3 countries in West Africa with 20,000 naira, which is about $50 in conversion, which does not sound achievable. But what she did was basically use that money we didn't have to pay visa. So I just mentioned West African countries, so she didn't have to pay visa. So all she used that money for was, transportation from Nigeria to that place by bus, of course, and feeding per day. And our accommodation was free because the site called Couchsurfing, where you can get free accommodation. So she basically, accommodation was sorted, and the host too was taking her to destinations on his own pocket or a pocket or wherever it is that was, you know, hosting him. So that is how she was able to achieve 20K for 3 countries. So as I wanted to know if you add like the round figure, how much you spent around the time in Nigeria. Do you understand?
In Nigeria,
so like, I also inspire someone because
I know I just spent up to 200,000.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know that I didn't spend up to 200,000.
Did you say 200 or 400?
200. I know I just spent up to 200. My last leg was the one that, so during my last leg of journey that I began to do fancy stuff. And that was when I knew that I quite spent a lot.
What do you call fancy?
Around the country. No, you know, I started looking into sleeping in hotels too. I started looking into buying stuff. Yeah. And I started looking into, you know, looking good. You know, buying extra things that are not necessarily necessary. But I know I just spent up to 200K. I stayed with people throughout my journey.
Mm-hmm.
I was staying with people. I was cutting costs. There are sometimes that I just take bike or ask somebody to just give me lift. And I don't know. I'm just blessed with conversing with people, and maybe I'm a bit friendly. I don't want to put that I'm extra friendly. I'm quite friendly, so I always have my way with people when I travel. So one thing about life, or you have to be welcoming. You have to be friendly to people. It brings you help from places you least expected. You know, you just find people helping you for no reason. And maybe just because of your smile or the way you greeted them or your respect or something, just open people up to you to, you know, favor you one way or the other. So yeah, like I used to say, Nigeria is not that expensive to explore because most of the attractions are quite free to access.
Yeah.
So those are the things. Yeah, most of the attractions are free to access. Most of them are just not maintained, so you can enter and come out. And even the ones that are structured are cheap, especially in the north. Or in the east, too. Most of the attractions are like 200 naira entrance,
100
naira, 50 naira entrance fee. So they are cheap. Like except even transportation. Once you leave Lagos to other states, imagine, let's say Lagos to Ibadan is 1,002 at the time. Ibadan to Oshun is like 800, 600. You know, like transportation to is cheap. That's why I used to advise people to do two or more states at a time. So you don't just go to Ibadan and come back. You can do Ibadan, Osun, and Ondo together because they are on the same axis and it costs you cost for you coming back to Lagos and then starting all over again, coming back to Lagos. So these are ways you can, you know, cut costs and also travel on a budget. Basically.
Exactly. So for those listening, in case you did not get the notification, this is about traveling on a budget because you cannot spend 200k around Nigeria traveling as a luxury traveler. Could it work? So now let me bring context for those that are not Nigerian. So basically, she did spell on to 200,000 naira, which is converted to about $560. So that is, I'm just saying, if you're looking to travel on a budget when you come to Nigeria, that can help. So another thing that really helped that she said is, you know, accommodation cost was not incurred because she always got free accommodation in each state that she traveled to. All she majorly spent money on was feeding and transportation, right?
Yeah.
And maybe the 100 naira and the 200 naira destination costs that she, you know, went to. Some of them were free, as she also mentioned. So building relationship on the road always helps reduce costs because some people will be so nice to take you to these places for free sometimes. So I wanted to know what then inspired, after, you know, meeting your goal of going to 36 states in Nigeria, what helped you arrive at the decision of wanting to now break it down to 774? She wants to visit, for those that are not aware, she wants to visit all the 774 local governments in Nigeria. I mean, like, she wants to step on every ground in Nigeria. So what inspired that?
I'm a daughter of the soil. So it is only right for me to visit everywhere. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I still don't know. I feel like I'm crazy. Sometimes when I wake up and I check that, I'm like, are you crazy or something?
God inspired.
But so my 36 states journey actually inspired that. I have been to all the states and I've met different people and I've seen different ways that people live. I have experienced firsthand how Nigerians survive in every state, in each state. And also, I realized that there are a lot in Nigeria that we don't know. Especially attractions. We have attractions that are popular. So when people are traveling, when they are sourcing for destinations, they just source for, you know, popular attractions in Nigeria and they just go. But we have hidden gems too. We have others, like in Kwara State, which was my first state, for instance. We only know of Ogu Falls at the time. Everybody go there for Ogu Falls. But over this past few times that I've spent there, I've figured out other amazing waterfalls in the state. So there is that. And basically, when I started it for a purpose
to, you know, impact the tourism sector and people's standard of living. I realized that when I was traveling, there were people that, you know, were living in small towns and villages and they're lacking basic amenities. They were lacking a lot of stuff, and it feels like they have been forgotten. Like, so I'm like, most of the places have been forgotten. They are lacking basic amenities, and I think one of my core point was, I think, in Taraba, on Mambila Plateau, and I saw these kids, you know, paddling canoe. I don't want to call it child. What is to call it? Child labor, because I feel like they don't have any other options. That is how they live. But I feel like they can be better. The standard of living over can be better. And I felt, okay, I'm going to do this for the country, like for the people. I want to travel for a purpose. I want to make sure that everywhere I step, I'm able to bring a solution to them. Either we developing a tourist attraction that can attract people there year in, year out, that can fund, that can bring resources to the local government or the community, or either looking for how to solve a solution, like providing clean water if they need it, or school amenities, you know, all the stuff. And that was what inspired 774. I used to call it a middle ground, getting from those that have to give those that in need, and breaking the bridges around us. also telling our story in a unique way. We have a lot of culture. We have over more than 100 plus ethnic tribe in Nigeria. And we don't know much about the deaf history hiding. There's a lot of culture, hiding in these germs and these local government areas. And I feel like it is high time we start putting light in other spaces too. And that is why I am back on the 774 journey.
How has that been so far? I know that you started about August. You began the journey July, September. August. So how has that been so far? The places you went to, what's been the impact, and what do you want more of? What do you hope for, and what can people learn from you?
Oh, yeah. So far it has been, I don't want to use the word amazing. I think I have used the word amazing a lot. So far it has been enlightening. Kwara State was my first point, and Kwara State has 16 local government areas. And over the places, I've experienced new stuff. I mean, you know, when Goge Africa was Goge Africa, can you hear me?
You went to all 60 local governments August?
No, I did 40 days. That was September to October, before the whole protesting started. That was when I came back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, when we're growing up and you watch AIT and Goge Africa and how you see all this cultural thing and all of that stuff, I experienced that firsthand in my first state. You know, when I was traveling 36 states, I basically just go to tourist attractions, go probably for history museums and all of that stuff. But now I am experiencing, you know, local music. I am meeting people, going to their farms, showing me stuff, you know, accepting me in, you know, telling me their language and their history. There was so much, and I was enjoying it. I was enjoying it all of the time. I danced to local music. I mean, you know, it was beautiful. The experience was beautiful. But at the same time, there are some experiences that are heartbroken, because there are some local government areas that doesn't have lights. Some hasn't have lights for a long time, and some were drinking dirty water, you know. Some doesn't have school chairs or school windows and all of that stuff. And it just brought me to the point that, when I made the decision to do the 774, I wasn't crazy after all. I knew that things like this are happening and I can bring solutions to them. Right now, I'm trying to work with an organization to provide school bench and windows for a community, in one of the communities in Kwara State. Also, I'm working with the locals in charge. So there are these local government that have dirty water, and I've been asking them, what is the government saying? So they said the government has allocated funds, and they brought in their representative to check and all of that stuff. So I am waiting on the feedback to see in the next 2-3 months if the government is going to go back there to do what they promised them. If not, well, before my mission is to provide them water. But I think right now, with this whole protesting happening, the mission has to be in two ways, which is educating and also providing solutions. Because I have come to realize that I can easily provide them temporary solutions. Like, yeah, they need clean water. I can call on, you know, crowd funds for that, or work with organizations to make that happen. But what are the long-term goals for them? What if it gets spoiled? How do they maintain it when this happens? How do they keep it going? So all of these things I'm putting into place to make sure that, you know, they are calling for their rights. At the same time, they are living a good, you know, at least a good life. Every Nigerian deserves a better life. Everybody deserves clean water. Everybody deserves, you know, good education, a good learning environment. And I feel like if that is lacking in a community, how do we train these children? How do they grow up healthy and learn and, you know, want to be something for themselves? I've seen people, like I met a child that's 11 years old and hasn't been to school for once. And I was asking their family member why. And, you know, they just say, oh, no, he doesn't like to go to school. I'm like, it's not like this child doesn't want to go to school. And when I asked the child what he wants to become, he said he wants to be an alpha. That's a cleric here. Said he wants to be, and I'm like, why? But I was stupid to ask him the why question, because this child literally grew up in a mosque. This child literally see people I'm just coming in to pray and seeing the affairs getting money. So all that is all he has grew up to know. That is all he knows. So that's it is okay for him to want to be that person because he hasn't had other options to be somebody else. He hasn't had the opportunity to see in the classrooms. He hasn't had the opportunity to hear people say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse, or I want to be, you know, an architecture or something.
And for all these things are for people listening that don't know what Alpha means. Alpha is basically a church, mosque leader that I'll call the pastor. Yeah, the pastor in the mosque. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, all this stuff are just things we need to start looking into. We need to start giving back. And also one of the main purpose of the project is to make sure that as a traveler, we are going back to give these people something. We are not just taking from them because I realized during my 36 days, all I do is go to the attractions, you know, play there and go back home. But we tend to forget that some of these attractions might be injuring some of these local people in their day-to-day life. I remember going to a place and they have a farm and then there's an attraction behind the farm. We have to literally walk through the farm, which definitely if a lot of people are coming in there every time to go see the attraction, it is affecting somebody's crop, somebody's farm, you know, and we just go take nice pictures and we come back home not knowing the ripple effect that's is having on them as a community. So all these things we need to really look into, inspire people to go out and see more in people than just the attractions they are going to see, which I call volunteerism, you know, giving back. Mm-hmm. So my purpose goals is also to organize trips or most of these communities, the communities that have things to give, and also make sure that we provide one solution at a time to these places. So far, it's been educating. I've learned a lot about the tribe. You know, for what is what, I used to talk that Kwara State is a Muslim state. I feel like they are their population. You know how you know that the north is basically the religion in the north is basically Muslims and all. And because Kwara State is in the North Central, for what it's worth, I always thought that, you know, Kwara State is also a Muslim state. You'll be shocked that the only part of Kwara State that is that conk of being, that the religion is Muslims, is just Ilorin, Jeba, which is Moro. And going to some places, I've been seeing, I saw a lot of churches, people were just Christians. And I'm like, I used to think the whole of Kwara State is the Muslim state. So, you know, all this kind of education is things, you know, I've learned from my first phase of the journey, and I'm open to learning more and experiencing more and also, you know, promoting these places.
One thing about traveling is that you get to be a storyteller. Like, you have so many stories to tell and like it never ends. Soon you might I was even going to say soon you might even need to start documenting your stories in a book version, but you already have a travel guide book released already.
Oh yeah. So
yes, please, where can they find it if people are interested in purchasing?
No, there is a link on my bio at Dato Kelady where you can purchase the guide. The guide is actually an e-guide for you to travel to all these destinations. I think I have 100 destinations that you can travel to on the guide. And also I selected the destinations to be places that are easily to access so that people don't come back and come and say, why did Doke ask me to go to Femi when she knows that?
That's really
but I make sure there are places that are easy to access. They are geotagged that can direct your Google map. The attraction.
No. Guys, fam, this lady, she's not just a traveler, but a 21st century traveler. I know this because I've traveled with her once to Ghana. And everything when she said geotag, she's talking about Google Maps, as in this lady is prepared. Yeah, so whatever I see that's in that, like all the documents and information that she has put in that guide will definitely help you out. And it already sounds interesting. I'm even thinking, in fact, don't worry. So thank you for people that are not even aware, please spell that Doke Lady. Do you mean your Instagram or your blog, please?
It's on my Instagram at that Doke Lady. I should definitely update it on my blog soon.
All right. So that
I'm not on serious blogger, please.
I want to help people spell your name. So it is spelled T-H-A. T, that is that, then Toka is T-O-K-E, then Lady is L-A-D-Y. All right, so it's okay. Thank you so much for, you know, blessing the podcast with your knowledge. It is actually, your journey is actually inspiring to see what you are currently accomplishing and the vision that pushes you. I love the vision, like it's amazing. And at the same time, all of this is to get a better Nigeria. And that is why I realized that most of the people in my community that, you know, I follow and I, you know, like their content are the people that have almost the same vision with me, because, you know, vision attracts people that are like you, towards you. Do you get? So I love that. I love that. And please keep on going. Don't get discouraged. Now, talking of getting discouraged, so what inspires you the most? Is it a mentor? Is it God? Is it a book you read? What inspires you the most to keep going?
God. I don't have any mentor, please. God. God, actually. God is the divine. I think I remember when I was launching the 774 movement, and I say, except if God doesn't want me to do something, then I don't do it. Because I'll always get a sign. So it's always God for me. And then, what else? Books? I don't read books, they lie. Let us leave it.
No problem. God is enough. I beg. Like, God is enough. Like, what you need is God. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to find you, follow you on Instagram.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Where are you most active? Instagram, Twitter, and where can they follow you?
What is your handle? Instagram, Twitter, that's the Kelly across boards. Is that Kelly across boards? So you can just find me with that handle.
Awesome. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I hope you got inspired. Tuke is an amazing lady and she is someone that takes actions, and you know, actions inspires a lot of people, because there are a lot of people that make plans without taking action. And when they see someone taking action, of course, that inspires you to want to take action as well. So I hope this inspires you to take the action that you've been saying. Oh, I'm going to go to the cattle ranch this year. You know, pandemic happened. And if it was not on your bucket list, like if you really didn't want to go, or if you didn't have the conviction to go, then I'm sure the farthest place you left, you went to this year, might have been your office or something, right? I just want you to decide that whatever it is that you learn from this podcast and from this season, you also implement it, because that's the only way you can empower yourself. I have done my part by being a vessel, you know, will I say a vessel or light, by bringing on board the right people to bring light into your mind, because transformation starts with the mind. Anyways, let me not preach. Because I feel like I'm going to start preaching now. Without further ado, do not forget to please share this podcast with your family and friends if you found this useful and inspiring. If you are listening on any platform, I believe you can subscribe. I know you can subscribe on Apple. I'm not sure of other platforms. But please subscribe if you can. We're approaching the final, you know, episode soon of this season, okay? I hope you've been enjoying this season. Please share, subscribe, and feel free to leave a review as well. One last thing, if you want your voice to be featured on this podcast, you can always leave a voice message by visiting our Instagram page, which is thebigjima_thebigjima_, and click the link in our bio to leave a voice message, and we'll, you know, either add it or answer your questions or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm also Thefisayo on all platforms. That's Thefisayo. Do not forget to like, share, and subscribe. That's what I say on YouTube, my guys. Anyways, till next time, don't forget to stay awesome, stay inspired. Peace.